name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reading again from the Gospel of Matthew, we listen to these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you never read in the Scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? So far, our text, will you please pray with me, and especially for me. Gracious Lord God, Heavenly Father, keep us, we pray, united by faith to Jesus Christ, our source of life, so as not to ever turn away or reject him and so lose our hope of salvation. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was early in the morning, just the day before Jesus had turned over the tables at the temple as he drove out all who were buying and selling in the temple area. He then went to Bethany, where he spent the night, likely with Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. We can't be sure, but he may have gotten up very early in the morning not to disturb his hosts. Matthew tells us that Jesus was hungry. He did get up early and slip out. Was it so that Martha and Mary would not make breakfast for him? In any event, it is on the trip back from Bethany, back to Jerusalem, that Jesus will curse the tree that had nothing on it but leaves to offer his hunger. Now you talk about being bold. Jesus not only goes back to Jerusalem, but to the temple where he had created such a stir with the whips, the tables and such. Immediately is met there by the chief priests and the elders of the people who demand to know by what authority he is doing these things. He sets up a situation where he forces the Jewish authorities to back down or get in trouble with the people over John the Baptizer's ministry. Then he begins a series of parables. The first of that series we had last Sunday. Today our Lord speaks of the landowner, the vineyard, evil tenants, righteous servants and son, and the stone that they rejected by the builders. As the Lord talks about a vineyard, all the Jewish leaders, they would immediately start thinking of Isaiah 5. Prophet Isaiah was inspired to speak of Israel as a vine tenderly cared for by God and yet produced no fruit. Let's just stop here for a moment and consider. The disciples had just that morning watched how Jesus had responded with fruitlessness. He curses it. As Jesus started the parable of the vineyard, just picture if you would. The disciples looked around at each other with knowing looks and nods. They knew that something really big was about to be said. They knew that the Jewish leaders had no idea that they were up against Jesus, the Son of the living God. The vineyard described by Isaiah was not only fruitless, it produced in its place injustice and bloodshed. Therefore, Jesus cursed the fruitless tree. So God curses fruitless Israel by removing its protection and stopping the blessing of rain and strength to the ground. Here we see a spiritual principle at work, one that we see over and over again in the book of Judges. God will not bless a godless nation. He will not favor a nation who practices injustices and takes an innocent human life. Such a nation God will not protect. And as we read the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." Dear people of God, what about our own nation? How much security of God's favor do you think that our nation can expect when Planned Parenthood can legally kill innocent preborn human life, or when our streets are running red with blood coming from the nation's thin blue line of those whose job it is to protect us? Do you feel safe from our enemies when the institutes of law tell us that evil is good and good is evil, and seeks to silence us when we dare to speak out against sin on the street and human vice in the public squares? God tended to our nation when it was formed as an infant, blessing it with very godly Christian leaders. In our Lord's words today, God's care for Israel is suggested by the meaning of the parable itself. When God cared for ancient Israel, he took care of all the details. There were very precise horticultural procedures involved in caring for a vineyard. The hedge was carefully measured and trimmed. There were measurements for the trenches, the void spaces, and the size of the wine press. careful descriptions outline how to prune the vines, including direction on where and where not to plant vines. Ancient authorities even noted which were the best and the worst varieties of vines to plant or not to plant. A lot of care went into the vineyard, even as God so carefully tended to his dear people, Israel. But what did God get for all his loving care? Injustice, unrighteousness, bloodshed, shouts of disobedience. God could have cursed Israel to death, even as our Lord cursed the barren tree. But no, Israel was not merely some sort of a thing of God. Israel embodied the children of God. God wanted the vineyard to prosper, so he sent his servants, the prophets. They beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Beat one. That's a figurative of any number of the early prophets who were faithful, but when the people received them, sometimes it was with a whipping. Killed another. Amos is believed to have been killed by the use of a club. Isaiah's martyrdom took place under the evil king Manasseh, who sawed the prophet in two, stoned another. Traditions say that Jeremiah was killed by stoning. As Jesus spins out the parable, the priests and the people are beginning to realize that they are the tenants who persecuted the past prophets of God. They know that the Nazarene is claimed to be the Son of God. In several passages from our Bible, we're told that they want to stone Jesus for that claim. Jesus continues with his parable as he turns their attention to the Son of the vineyard. Mark's gospel points to the Son's preexistence when Mark writes, "He had still one other, a beloved Son. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son." Now there's something unreal about this story that Jesus is telling in the parable. How likely is it that a man whose servants have been mistreated and killed by the tenants would then send his beloved son to try to collect his share of the harvest? But this unreal story illustrates the incredible patience of God. It is truly mind-boggling that God would send his son into a world that he had seen how his people treated the prophets. To our ears, it all sounds unreal that the tenants who murdered the son should expect to take possession of his inheritance, especially while his father, the vineyard owner, is still alive. But selfish ambition and greed all too often and all too easily cause us to forget God's presence. Did the tenants, the rulers of Israel, recognize that Jesus was the Son of God? Well, the suggestion here is that they did. So why did they crucify him? Why do people continue to crucify Christ today? Through their sins that put him on the cross. Many today don't want the King's Son. They don't want the Lord of life to be their Lord of their life. We continue to live in a public square that where the wants of the individual are valued to the exclusion of moral decency and justice. An increasing number of our leaders want Jesus and his followers out of the way so that they can build America according to godless standards. You know, with many lies and then even more lies, they failed in their attempts to ruin Brett Kavanaugh as being morally unfit. Now they're determined to try and argue an opposite accusation. They also will most certainly fail in their efforts to paint Amy Coney Barrett as too dogmatic in her Christian faith to claim her rightful seat as a Supreme Court justice. Some weeks ago in my sermon to you folks, I mentioned the New York Times 1619 Project. The project appears to be another attempt to reframe our country's history while at the same time making jabs at Christianity. As I said then, this has become public school curriculum in thousands of school districts throughout the nation. Now, I got good news from my daughter last week, who teaches 7th and 8th grades up in central Wisconsin. She's become my sleuth for the 1619 Project. As last Saturday, anyway, she had heard absolutely nothing regarding this foolishness. I told her then she should be preparing by utilizing Bob Woodson's 1776 Project information instead. Woodson says, The 1619 Project are very corrosive and very dangerous challenge to the nation and our founding principles, while 1716 Unites is an inspirational alternative to this diabolical message. People of God, you know as well as I that it's not just the liberals of Washington, D.C., or just the public schools that are working 24/7 to erode Christianity, and didn't just start with my generation back in the 60s either. The Son of God is daily being rejected in our culture. By even any secular standard, Jesus is the dominant figure in all of Western culture. Like much of what we now think of as Western ideas, inventions, and values find its source in our inspiration in a religion that worships God in Jesus' name. There's art and science, self and society, politics, economics, marriage and the family, right and wrong, body and soul. They've all been touched and often radically transformed by Christ's influence. Like the Jewish leaders standing before Jesus, he told this parable. A growing number of our leaders want to get Christ out of the way. Note that our nation's leaders are permitting all religious art and icons that speak of our Christian heritage to be systematically removed from our public buildings. Get Christ out of the way. Jesus knew it then and always that the multitudes with its leaders would reject him and his claim over the totality of their lives within the vineyards, God's creation. He is the stone rejected. There was a tradition well known at the time of Christ that speaks about the building of the second temple. According to this tradition, a stone was brought to the builders and sent back again and again and time again until finally it was discovered to fit perfectly in the corner. The servants of Jesus in the Old Testament were rejected. Jesus was rejected. Jesus is rejected today. The servants of Jesus are rejected today. The Bible says that as the end times draws close, the majority of people will reject Jesus as they persecute his followers. But not all. There are many people today who have come to faith in Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit has moved year after year after year through the Word and through sacraments. Yes, you've all suffered rejections. Yes, you may suffer worse in the future. But one thing the enemies of Christ cannot do is to remove how perfectly God fits you into his eternal plan and his kingdom. Jesus, you see, is the cornerstone that knits us all together. We're told this by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. Jesus is the servant king who came into the vineyard of his world, suffered and died for our sins, and then rose bodily from the grave so that he could prepare a place for us in heaven. May the Lord continue to inspire each of us not to push him out of our lives, but to receive him and all his benefits so we might have the forgiveness of sins, joy, life, and salvation. For the workmen of God, the way may be hard in this world. Never forget, however, that we are building will outlast the sands of time. To God and Jesus be the glory and honor and the dominion now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I would ask that you would rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten with his Father before all worlds, God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life,
Odman, really for rehabilitation and therapy. Kirkland Walsh, fundamental leader with a rare genetic disorder. One of our members is awaiting biopsy results. Paul Allen, who has fallen and broken her hip. Carolyn Ott, who's been diagnosed with cancer, will need surgery. James Zartner, who fell and broke his hip. And also for President and Melania and all the folks in the White House. Let us pray the whole people of God and pray season for all people according to their needs. First of all, Lord, you planted us as your own vineyard, that we might bear good fruit for your glory. Grant us grace that we may be faithful and show forth in our lives good works to glorify you and serve your purpose. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious Father, embolden us by your Spirit. We may give witness to your great acts. Bless the missionaries who bring gospel to people who have not heard. Raise up faithful pastors who nurture the congregation in their care with your word and sacraments. Give us ears willing to hear, mind willing to be instructed, and hearts willing to trust you in all things. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Lord, rescue us from all enemies of your church and bless us with church leaders whose voice will not waver in the face of threat. Bless Dr. Matthew Harrison, President of the Synod, Kevin Wilson, our District President, Alex Beckwith, our Circuit Visitor, and Kevin Jenner, Pastor. Inspire men and women to go into church work vocations and bless those who pray for church work. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. Great Lord, give to the nation both a desire for a blessing of peace, for the actions of terrorists and those who oppress with the power of fear. Bless President Trump, Governor DeWine, and all who pass, enforce, and judge our laws. Spare us from disease and fear. Deliver us forth from want, and help us to provide jobs and worthy employment for all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Everlasting Father, guide husband and wife to love and forgive each other and strengthen them in their life together. Bless the home in which your people dwell. Help parents to take examples for their children and give room in their hearts and homes that orphan they know joy of a place and a home to call their own. Lord, have mercy. God of love, deliver the sick from their illnesses, give relief to the suffering, help the troubled to know peace of mind, and be the beginning of those in the final days. Guide all healthcare professionals to serve those in need, give patience to those who must bear with their infirmities, disabilities, and infidelity. Hear us especially, President Obama, and point to those of the White House staff, for Kelly, Kathleen, John, Perkin, member, Paul, Carol, and James. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's body and blood in this holy supper. We may be strengthened in faith, renewed in love, and nurtured in faith by our communion. Give to us unity of faith and harmony in our life together. Bring us at last to the saints who have gone before you, who may have gained everlasting life and dwell in the presence forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, give us a willing spirit that we may serve you with all that we have and all that we are. Help us to be faithful and fruitful in the godly use of your resources and gifts. We may use them in accord with your will and for your glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, keep us from resentful hearts that would begrudge your mercy or live selfishly for ourselves, and teach us to live for you, the life that you have given us, treasuring in our hearts all that is good and wise and seeking after these things. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
us, O Lord, you answer to the prayer of your people. Pray in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and with the Father and the Spirit, you are one God and one Lord forevermore.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
strict and preserve you to life everlasting. Your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace and in eternal joy. Sign up is in the narthex. 1 minute, 5 seconds.